This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest media center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com.
Getting America back on track. Bill Martinez live.
President, thank you very much for joining.
Thank you. Appreciate
thank
it.
You. You faced resistance on this bill, but of course you faced resistance on the entirety of your agenda. Who's been your biggest opponent? Has it been Democrats resisting? Has it been fake news media? Has it been deep state leaks? What's when you think about it, what holds it up?
Well, you know, when I ran, I talked about the rigged system because I saw I was winning states and I wasn't getting the delegates that I should be getting. And, you know, I would look at this. I said, what kind of a system? Well, the whole system is very... There's a lot of bad things going on, a lot of very bad things going on. One of the things that should be solved, but it probably won't be, is that the Republicans and Democrats don't get together. And I'm open arms, but I don't see that happening. They fight each other. The level of hostility, and by the way, this isn't just Trump. This has been like this for years. You've been doing this for a long time. It's been like that for a long time. But the level of hostility, as an example, the health care bill that you are reporting on and everybody's reporting on, it would be so great if the Democrats and Republicans could get together, wrap their arms around it, and come up with something that everybody's happy with. It's so easy. But we won't get one Democrat vote, not one. And if it were the greatest bill ever proposed in mankind, we wouldn't get a vote. And that's a terrible thing. So there is. Well, look, their theme is resist. I've never heard of anything like this, resist.
How frustrating is it to have former President Obama? They're out there leading the resistance.
Well, I don't think he's leading it. He actually just put out a small statement. I don't see that leading it, but other people...
Hey, Scott, let's go ahead and stop it right there, okay? Donald Trump, of course, commenting on the contention that's going on. And, you know, listen to the contrast of Donald Trump inviting Democrats to get involved. Now, did we hear that with Barack Obama? Speaking of Barack Obama, you know, and the question of him leading the resistance. But I like that Trump put it in perspective, said he's not necessarily leading. He's making some statements, certainly. I don't know that he is leading either. You know, so he gives the former president room there because a lot of this is falling, you know, on the shoulders, according to these surveys that we're getting now, Scott. America has kind of had it with this contention. They've had it with the Russia deal. They're saying, hey, let's move on. There's nothing here. I know Marco Rubio said he didn't feel comfortable about calling it a witch hunt, but that's a whole nother discussion that we can have. And I think that speaks of Marco Rubio's, I think, chances to really be a serious candidate for presidency. And only because what happens is you've got to understand what the sentiment is and how people are perceiving this in an everyday language. From his perspective, he can be, you know, a little bit more fine about it. But the majority of Americans only see that this is a waste of time, that, it does seem like a witch hunt, that you've got all these players involved, you know, with Mueller, best friends with Comey, and Loretta Lynch, and, you know, if anything, the collusion seems to be more with what happened within our own government as opposed to Republicans. And I guess the Main Street America is saying, hey, we're tired of this stuff. You can't get to the point. You want to keep hashing this over and over again. But meanwhile, you know, I'm still hustling for a job. I'm worried about health care, what's going to happen there. And the cover for health care, by the way, I was thinking about this yesterday, is that, and we had this conversation with Betsy McCoy, if you remember, years ago, said that really only about 10% at any one time of Americans would be affected by health care. They would be dealing with the reality of Obamacare, or Obamacare, as we called it. And that's still pretty much the case. The people who are in the midst of it and understand directly how short it falls, they're very upset and frustrated over it. But, you know, the majority of Americans, it doesn't really bother them. All they hear is what the mainstream media is telling them. We'll continue the conversation. Thank you for joining in. This is Bill Martinez. We're live at 5 minutes after the top of the hour right now.
Warning, if you've recently declared bankruptcy, you're going to want to cover your ears. Because there's an alternative to bankruptcy, and it could be better than you'd ever think possible. But if you've already declared bankruptcy and have missed this opportunity, you'll want to cover your ears now. Here it is. Right now, the company that has resolved more credit card debt than anyone in the U.S. may be able to settle your debt, too. You can resolve your debt with one low monthly program payment. If you call right now and qualify, Freedom Debt Relief will show you how low your monthly program payment could be for free. Call now. 1-800-660-1297. That's 1-800-660-1297. If you're struggling with debt, this could be your answer. And the bigger your debt, the more money you could save. To find out for free how much of your hard-earned money Freedom Debt Relief could help you save, call now. 1-800-660-1297. 1-800-660-1297. 1-800-660-1297.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it.
Bill Martinez Live, a program about current events, our culture, our values, our politics, and our future. And now, Bill Martinez.
We better stop, see what's that sound? Everybody look what's going now. Stop.
Don't forget, I saw Schumer criticizing the bill a couple of weeks ago, and he had no idea what was in the bill. He was saying, this bill is this, and it's that. He had no idea. In fact, the Republican senators didn't know because it wasn't released. Very few people knew. So he was criticizing a bill that he had no idea what was in the bill. But that's called the resistance. I mean, that's a terrible word. Think of it. Their theme is resist. Their theme should be, let's get together, envelop, let's get together. But their theme is resist. It's obstruction. And the problem is they become obstructionists. And the voters, I happen to like it from the standpoint of running for office, but I think it's a terrible theme in terms of getting elected. And more importantly, I think it's a terrible theme for the people of this country. Resist.
Let's go ahead and stop it right there, Scott.
That's not what
the president, of course, talking about the Democrats' position on resistance and obstructing. And it's not worked out well for them. I mean, they're 0 for 4. Donald Trump says 0 for 5, counting the general election when he was elected president. Dems have lost 5 in a row. You think they would get the message. And it seems that maybe they have, because as he mentioned, Chuck Schumer a couple of weeks ago was talking about the resistance. Now he comes back admonishing the Democrats, saying we need a strong and bold, sharp-edged and common-sense economic agenda. Policy, platform message that appeals to the middle class, that resonates with the middle class and unites Democrats. It's what's been missing. It will be bold. No baby steps. They lose an election. He says when they lose an election, you don't blame other people. You blame yourself. Whoa, what happened here? Scott, did they finally get hit with a dose of reality?
Doubtful. I don't buy it.
Hey, well, even if it's fake it till you make it, you know, kind of deal, I'll take it. Because, you know, as we've been calling on this show, in the interest of bipartisanship and the United States of America, we've been calling out Democrats to say, look it, quit pouting, get in the fight. You know, it's kind of like that scene in, Top Gun, engage, Maverick, you got to engage. You know, the Democrats aren't engaging. We need to get them in the fight here. To take on these serious issues. And this is what's happening, you know, across the country, according to a survey. Harvard-Harris poll survey that was taken. Interesting results here to this point. Yeah, Harvard-Harris poll. In fact, Mark Penn, who ran Hillary's campaign, reported this on Fox News. And this was the voters' opinion on the Russian investigation, right? Okay, 64% say a Russian investigation is hurting the country. This is what it's come down to. You know, they see it plainly, you know, as you and I have been talking about it, and we have been with our audience here as well, is that all this stuff takes away from the business at hand. We need to have this sense of urgency. And I was saying this from day one with Donald Trump, even though he was looking at the first 100 days and he was doing everything he could to move things along. The Democrats were obstructing and holding back, maybe hoping to run out the clock, so to speak, on this administration and do everything they could so that in their eyes that Donald Trump did the least amount of damage, you know, to the country. Is the way they presented it. But in spite of all that, look what's happened with the stock market. You know, jobs are rising. To me, the greatest indicator is that people are excited again. You know, entrepreneurs, the banks, you know, we've had Wells Fargo, we've had Bank of America, other banks here on the show, and they've all have measured the excitement of new business growth, you know, people talking about it now, and entrepreneurship would appear to be on the rise again, and that is a good thing for America, for Americans, and dare I say, you know, for the world, because we have been, and will continue to be, in the foreseeable future, the innovators of this technological experience and expansion that continues to, to be prevalent in our country and very much a part of our economy, not to mention the world economy. But 64% of America says Russian investigation is hurting the country. We're taking our eye off the ball. We need to focus on the things that matter to Main Street America. 56% say it is time to move on to other issues, the important issues like, you know, like the economy, like our security, national security, things that make a difference that, affect the checks of Americans. Only 44% say, you know, we should stay focused on Russia. 73% say that this whole Russian investigation is preventing Congress from tackling more important issues like jobs and the economy. So, Dems need to get the idea. I think the Republicans had got it. It took them a while, you know, to figure it out. And the thing is, I still think that some of them have not figured it out. You know, they're about as stubborn as some of these Democrats, and they're so ideologically fixed that they're, in a sense, kind of maybe not overtly like the Democrats, but maybe passively resisting, you know, Donald Trump. But, you know, you look at it and you say, wow, this guy's hitting home runs. You know, He's the champ, so what if his jersey is the number one seller? Hey, didn't particularly care for him, but you know what? He's our guy, and he's making things happen. And the Republican Party is slowly but surely getting behind him, because, God, if they don't, these midterm elections are going to be a disaster. And you couple with that the pressure of the reality is, you know, the health care situation that we're talking about here. If they're not going to do something about this health care plan, they have got to move this along, and it's got to be discernibly advantageous. There's got to be a discernible difference, because most people, because they're not directly involved with Obamacare, you know, as I mentioned, maybe only 10%. And of that 10%, how many of those are actual voters that realize that Obamacare is an absolute mess? I mean, we hear it reported in part. Mainstream media is still carrying the water, so we're not getting a clear objective readout on it. But for the people that have gone head to head with the disaster called Obamacare, this is a mess. And all they hope for is that the rest of America doesn't have to experience the same pain that they've had to in thinking that they had health care. They don't.
Well, they ran on it.
Yeah.
They ran on that.
Right.
Obviously,
you're talking to Republicans to fix it. Yes.
Well, the Republicans ran on repealing it.
Yes.
But even the Democrats ran on, we need to fix it.
Mm.
Like, even they were saying that, hey, this isn't right. We need to fix this.
Well, they were slow. Actually, the guy that made the bigger statement was Bill Clinton, right? And Hillary about wanted to chase him off the stage. Like, why did you bring that up? You know, why did you point out the 8,000-pound gorilla in the room? We were doing okay until you mentioned that.
Talk about, he actually did a few things during the campaign that were like, hey, whoa, are you helping me or are you hurting me here?
Exactly.
The meeting with Loretta Lynch on the runway, a statement about Obamacare, you know, it's faulty and it's wrong and we need to fix it. Well, and he was right. I mean, it did.
Yeah, but then, you know, to your point, Dems were late to the dance on that, to admit that they needed to be. Now they're talking about fixing it, and Donald Trump is saying to them, hey, come on in, the water's fine, we need your help. Let's see what that looks like, and if, in fact, they can help out, because there's lots of heavy lifting, and there are, last time I checked, Republicans, Democrats, Independents, the United States is all suffering under this failed Obamacare health plan. We deserve better, and together, I believe, we can make this happen. I think that's what Donald Trump's message is all about. More from Donald Trump and the other news that you want to hear about. We're going to get you up to date. Stay with us 15 minutes after the top of the hour right now.
Many books have been written regarding the law of attraction, but what if all these books are missing the most important information we can use when it comes to activating this law in our lives? The new book, It's Time to Align, the most powerful self-help book ever written by Alan Lottinger, takes a look at how the law of attraction really works and how it is being suppressed in our lives. Learn how to overcome this manipulation and how to experience alignment with the creative power of the universe. Get the new book, It's Time to Align, available at Amazon.com.
One nutritional secret is that due to soil infertility, plants are not making the percentage of mineral sugars that they did before the advent of chemical agriculture. These mineral sugars are measured in the juice of a plant. The more sugar, the more minerals, proteins, fatty acids, vitamins, and phytochemicals. According to some experts, these mineral sugars are what activate the DNA of our body to be efficient at making protein. Due to an absence of enough of these mineral sugars in our plant foods today, our bodies require 40% more protein. One World Whey is a technologically enhanced whey protein food that can supplement the protein needs of your diet. It is easy to assimilate and it tastes delicious. However, its most attractive feature is that people from ages 3 to 80 are having phenomenal improvements in health. People are reporting vast improvements in energy and well-being that last for 4 hours or more from a single serving. Call 888-988-3325 or visit oneworldway.com. That's oneworld, W-H-E-Y.com.
If you had purchased $100 of Bitcoin in 2010, today you'd have $2,600,000.
While that sinks in, you now have a huge cryptocurrency opportunity trading at a guaranteed 7 cents per coin. Procoin, a coin publicly traded in the open market, easily converted to cash, available in 60 countries, and Procoin is the only cryptocurrency offering coin-back rewards for consumers and merchants. Take action by June 30th at procoincurrency.net. That's procoincurrency.net.
Deadline for 7 cent guarantee is June 30th.
Be prepared for the next disaster with the Shelter Pod. The Shelter Pod is a large, all-season, heavy-duty, quick-deploy shelter. The Shelter Pod system can be set up in 30 seconds and includes an emergency medical kit, water filter, survival tools, and more. Are you prepared to take care of your family? Do you have everything in one place ready to go? Get it now or enter to win a complete Shelter Pod system at ShelterPod.com. The Shelter Pod at ShelterPod.com. Shelter when you need it most.
Attention business owners and independent contractors. This is a money-saving message from Tax Mediation Services. If your business owes $20,000 or more in taxes, we can help you today, right now. Listen, dealing with the IRS is no picnic. It's an intimidating and extremely stressful process, and you don't want to go it alone. Our attorneys know every law, every tax break, and every possible opportunity to help you resolve and reduce your tax debt. And if you owe more than $20,000, you may be at the top of their hit list. So don't take your tax debt lightly, because it will not go away on its own. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, your home, and even shut down your business. Call our tax experts today at 1-800-765-9681 and let us deal with the IRS while you focus on your business. That's 1-800-765-9681. Again, that's 800-765-9681.
Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but soon you'll need a plan and place to survive. Forget bunkers. You're not a live-underground gopher. You need Survivalist Camps, the ultimate fully functional, off-the-grid mobile survival bug-out house that's well-equipped and custom-built to outlast any other RV or trailer. Bold statement, you bet. See them now at survivalistcamps.com. That's survivalistcamps.com. Trust your family survival to survivalistcamps.com.
Lower taxes, less government, and self-reliance. They live here. Bill Martinez, live.
You know, that's what it's all about. Life, liberty, pursuit of happiness. Some people think that's a right. And it can be, but with it comes responsibility, and it comes, you know, self-reliance is absolutely key to it. Self-responsibility with any of the liberties that we have here in this country. The challenge is that, you know, people have been told over the generations that, you know, somehow it's your right just as a citizen. It just comes to you automatically. And then, you know, they buy into that and realize along the way they're coming short, whether it has to do with their own health care, other situations. And they want to blame the wealthy who understood that, look, it's about hard work. You know, you've got to earn your way. It still involves, you know, that verb, that action word that you got to get off your back end and go make it happen. And anybody that tells you differently, you know, they're selling goods to you. And you know that. You know it instinctively that if it's too good to be true, it probably is. And you should run and not walk away from, you know, the invitation. Unfortunately, our country has been influenced, you know, by this is what Zig Ziglar would call stinking thinking. And here we are right now where, you know, some have, you know, criticized the rise of this socialistic mindset in our country. And what I resist in that is that it compromises the human potential of every citizen in the United States. And we've got people clamoring. I mean, you know, I think of Irish John, you know, who's sitting outside of this country 13 years, waiting to get in. I mean, he's in line. He's been in line for 13 years to become a citizen of the United States. And you hear him talk, you go, wow, what a quality guy. That's the kind of immigrant that we need here. And that's not to say we don't have them in the normal sense. Certainly we have, you know, people that are, you know, crowding the line and coming across, jumping the line, you might say, and taking advantage of, you know, the compassion that we have here in this country. We have a lot of compassion, but, you know, you can't have so much that it is beyond your ability to fulfill your compassionate desires. And this is the problem with the government when the government gets in, because the government's not designed for compassion. The government is designed to be just, okay, to exercise the rule of law. That's when government works. When it starts working toward compassion, then it blurs the lines. It gets, because by virtue of its definition, as soon as a government is compassionate to a specific group, then it's discompassionate to others because it has to be at somebody's expense. Do you understand? Does that make sense? And I mean, the light switch went on for me so clearly that, you know, I've become, you know, rather passionate in trying to get people to understand. Compassion is good. But that's why, you know, if you look back before FDR, you know, who handled the welfare system? Who took care of these problems that came up in our society? You know, they happened at the local level. It was the churches that did that, organizations, interest groups for each community who rallied along and supported individuals at the local level because they understood and they knew what was going on. It was the community healing itself. When government comes in, you know, it's about the votes. Okay, well, I'm going to give this to you, but, you know, what's in it for me? Oh, you're going to reelect me. Okay, then, hey, I'm all in. I'm here to help you. I mean, we sell our souls along the way, and that's the way it was, you know, that was never intended. Our founding fathers are rolling in their graves here right now to see how the American form of life and how this great American experiment has been compromised. And so those foundational principles start to erode. And as we discussed with Bruce Thatcher in his new book, I mean, this is absolutely key to empires and countries that fall by the wayside as they start abandoning those core principles that are just critical to our future and our ability to sustain itself. And we want to go back to the interview with Pete Hegseth talking to President Trump about the contention, the spirited contention that's taking place and this resistance that Democrats have been holding on to. Let's pick it up.
How do you overcome that when someone like Senator Warren, Elizabeth Warren, literally says people are going to die because of President Trump's health care bill?
Well, I actually think she's a hopeless case. I call her Pocahontas, and that's an insult to Pocahontas. I actually think that she is just somebody that's got a lot of hatred, a lot of anger.
She's got a lot of a loud microphone. And
well, she does, but, you know, I don't think she has the kind of support that some people do. I think she hurt Hillary. I watched her campaigning for Hillary. And she was so angry. Hillary would be sitting back listening to her, trying to smile. But there were a lot of people in that audience that were going, wow, is this what we want? There's a lot of anger there and hostility. So, no, I think I think she's a highly overrated voice.
Some people might say it's the lever of anger is unprecedented, but it's also unprecedented for a former president to come out the way President Obama has. He came out on Facebook recently. You may have seen it. He said, your bill, Mr. President, not a health care bill. It's a massive transfer of wealth. It's going to harm Americans. It's mean. What do you say to the former president?
Well, he actually used my term, mean. That was my term, because I want to see, and I speak from the heart. That's what I want to see. I want to see a bill with heart. Healthcare is a very complicated subject from the standpoint that you move it this way and this group doesn't like it. You move it a little bit over here. You have a very narrow path. And honestly, nobody can be totally happy, even without the votes. Forget about votes. This has nothing to do with votes. This has to do with picking a plan that everybody's going to like. I'd like to say love, but like. But we have a very good plan. We have a few people that are, I think you could say modestly, they're not standing on the rooftops and screaming. They want to get some points. I think they'll get some points.
Are Republican senators doing enough to have your back to get that health care bill through?
I think so. You know, I have great relationships with most of the people in the Senate, with, as you know, most of the people in the House. I think I work very hard. I made a lot of great friendships with the people in the House, a lot of them. Same thing in the Senate. They're four very good people. They're four very good people. They're friends of mine. And I don't think they're that far off. I don't think.
Let's go ahead and stop it right there, Scott. This is, again, the president, his comments on health care. And he said something here that is really important for people to grab a hold of, and that is that not everybody's going to be happy. But I also like the idea that he's saying, look at, you know, this needs to be moved really to the states. That's really what it comes down to. It's so complex. And, but, you know, when you're at the federal level, you have to speak in, you know, the federal vernacular. And the federal vernacular, if you hear them, it's kind of like this one size fits all approach. This is why it's absolutely critical. And I think this is what the Senate is trying to do, is to push it down to the states. Let the states control. You can allow Medicaid, you know, to be the engine of this and let the states figure out, okay, how we're going to do it. The federal level can fund Medicaid, let them handle it at a local level. The challenge that they're going to have with this whole process, I mean, imagine, what we had 2,800, almost 2,900 pages of the Obamacare bill, which then turned into like 40,000 plus, according to Betsy McCoy, 40,000 plus pages of regulations. You know, everybody's scratching their head. And I mean, even if you read the bill itself straight up, you know, as Jonathan Gruber said, they purposely made it confusing because the people were too stupid. No, the people would have been stupid if they kept trying to read it. You know, you just messed yourself up. You had an opportunity to deliver healthcare, to really be a true champion of the people. And what did you do? Because of ego, you ended up devastating your party. I'm talking about the Democrats here. They devastated their party to where they've lost a message. They've even lost a messenger. They have no message and no messenger. And this is what Chuck Schumer is responding to and saying, hey, look, you can't blame others. You have to take responsibility, do some soul searching, and pull this together. And as I said earlier, when it comes to Donald Trump, you know, Donald Trump's really been the savior of the Republican Party. They can like it or not, but he's pulled them out of the weeds and has given them a message. And it's almost like they're figuring this out, Scott, along the way and going, oh, yeah, you know, they're not jumping on the Trump bandwagon by no means automatically. It's like, to Donald Trump's credit and his family and the administrative team, they are dragging these Republicans along with them. But, you know, hear the cheers in Main Street America. They are excited because they have a president who gets it and is saying the things that they've been saying for a long time. And he is definitely connecting. And Chuck Schumer's words that he's saying to the Democrats, maybe some Republicans should be listening to those words as well. 29 minutes after the top of the hour. This is Bill Martinez. We are live.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-536-4436. That's 800-536-4436. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-536-4436.
Hi there, I'm Bob Eubanks. You know, as part of Hollywood for a long time, I've seen my fair share of celebrities get in trouble with the IRS. Well, there's one name I trust, the Tax Defense Group. They're the most trusted name in tax. So if you owe more than $10,000 to the IRS, you really need to call my friends at the Tax Defense Group. Ignoring the IRS is not the solution. They can garnish your paycheck, levy your bank accounts, seize your home or business. But the Tax Defense Group could put a stop to all of that and tailor a program that would reduce your tax debt to pennies on the dollar. You gotta love that. So don't just take my word for it. Call them. Find out for yourself. They offer a 100% satisfaction guarantee. And they're open 24 hours a day because they know that tax debt doesn't sleep either.
Call now for your free and confidential tax analysis from the most trusted name in tax. Call 800-361-6907. 800-361-6907.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
KADC, there's still such a thing called the Constitution. Remember? Bill Martinez, live.
Oh, those little words on an old parchment. They tell me it was written on hemp paper, believe it or not. But sometimes they just get in the way. There's those awkward little words, you know, that most of America says, hey, that's what I'm all in, which, you know, of course, all of us who serve the country, we're honored to serve the country and serve in the military. Constitution is what we fought for. It's what we believe in and we continue to support. And, you know, that's what we need. We need a rebirth of excitement about the words that our founding fathers gave to us. And I know our next guest agrees. This is Bill Martinez, by the way, 28 minutes before the top of the hour. Bruce Kaufman joins us, award-winning syndicated columnist, historian, author, and speaker, fresh from London, where he was on a lecture there of Winston Churchill. Wow, what a great opportunity, Bruce.
It was, Bill. It's a small group. Nobody's ever heard of them. They're called the Anglo-American Friends of Churchill. And I can tell you that the one thing that the Brits love is to have a Yank cross the pond and talk to them about how much he admires Winston Churchill. And that's what I did.
Well, you know, some might say you're speaking to the choir, but it's interesting when you have somebody, a figure like Winston Churchill, that is so iconic, and his impact was beyond the boundaries of Britain.
Yeah, absolutely. And the one thing that I focused on, Bill, in this lecture is something that's not very well known. It's a cabinet meeting that Churchill had on May 24th. This is 2 weeks after Hitler's launched the Blitzkrieg battle, in which he invades Belgium and the Netherlands and France. And on May 24th, Belgium and the Netherlands are now conquered by Nazi Germany. France has not yet surrendered, but everybody knows they will soon. Mm-hmm. And so the British cabinet, five-man cabinet, is trying to decide what to do about all of this. And most of them say we need to establish what they called an entente cordiale with Germany, which is to say we need to come to some kind of diplomatic understanding with Germany that in return for them not invading the British Empire, the British Islands, they will stay out of the war. They will be effectively neutral. And they're saying, okay, so here's why we should do this. Number one, we all know that Hitler's plans for his thousand-year empire is in the East, in Eastern Europe and the Soviet Union. We're in the West, number one. Number two, what has Hitler got against us? Economic competition? We're a seafaring nation. Our economy is based on trade. They're an agricultural nation. So I think we can come to a deal with Hitler. Churchill is the one person in that cabinet that said that is not going to happen. We are not going to come to a deal with Hitler because a deal with Hitler is a deal with the devil. If we stay out of this war, he wins the war in the East and he turns on us.
Exactly.
And Hitler, and Churchill's opinion prevailed. He could not order that, but he was the one who finally persuaded those other cabinet members that this is how it happened to be. And here's why this is so important, Bill. It's because if Britain had not been in the war, then the United States could not have fought in the war.
Exactly.
And Hitler wins the war. Okay? The British Islands, England was our aircraft carrier. It is where the United States was able to put its military equipment, its planes, its tanks, its soldiers. Had there not been England there in the war, independent, we would have had to fight Germany from across the Atlantic Ocean, which would have been impossible. And there was no other country in Western Europe where we could have stationed our military equipment because Hitler had either conquered them, had a treaty with them, such as Italy, or they were neutral, such as Switzerland and Sweden. So only England would have allowed us to fight the war on the continent and therefore fight the war effectively. That is why I say that that was probably the turning point in terms of us of winning the war, because without the United States fighting in the war, we lose the war.
Exactly. Well, and Winston Churchill understood this as well. I mean, he knew that he needed to get America involved because America wanted to stay out of this as much as his constituency there in Britain, saying, hey, look, let's find some way to negotiate.
Yeah.
So America was, along the same mindset. But again, it took the greatness. I mean, obviously, the clarity of mind that Winston Churchill, a minority viewpoint, but a passionate one, to convince not only his fellow citizens there in Britain, but also to reach out across the pond, so to speak, and talk to our president and say, look, we need you to engage.
Absolutely, Bill. That's Edward R. Murrow, who, he was the great war correspondent, mm-hmm. reported on the war from London. He once said of Churchill, and this is such an apt quote, he said, Winston Churchill armed the English language and sent it into battle.
Wow.
And that's exactly what he did. His speeches rallied his countrymen, but again, as you point out, he was very clever in how he framed his speeches. Every speech included the fact that the United States and Britain we had an Anglo-American friendship since after the Revolution, that we were part of the British Empire, that America has the same laws, the same customs, speaks the same language. He was always, all of his speeches, most of his speeches, were a reminder to Roosevelt and to the Americans that we have a shared heritage here, and you guys
exactly.
have to pay attention to that.
Wow. A man for a time such as this, you couldn't have asked for a better person. And it's always interesting, Bruce, I know you do this when you look in history, and I do as well, and you see the key parts, how they come together. It's never one person. It is always persons, and it's all about them coming and linking their assets together. And certainly this was the case not only for Britain and the United States, but dare I say the world.
Yes, absolutely. And I want to give Franklin Roosevelt a little bit of credit here, too, because he was the one who understood, as you point out, the Americans were isolationists to the core. They'd been in one world war, the World War I, and they felt that they'd been dragged into that war against their will.
Yeah, the war to stop all wars, right?
Yeah,
to end
exactly.
all wars, right?
So, absolutely. So, you know, Roosevelt was the one who cleverly, because he couldn't get too far ahead of the public opinion of his countrymen, but he cleverly, slowly moved them into there with Churchill's help. Absolutely.
Exactly. And, you know, and it wasn't that far down the road where they, they realized the carnage of World War I, Bruce. I mean, it was incredible the carnage that took place in World War One, and you could only hope that it would be the war to end all wars. And now here we are, looking at World War Two. So, understandably, you can understand why the people there in Europe, Britain, here in the United States, were reticent to get involved in another war.
You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. That was so 20 years earlier. They'd seen this huge carnage of World War One. This is why, in some ways, this whole this isolationist, the appeasement that the British that made Neville Chamberlain so popular, it was widely shared by his countrymen because they did not want to repeat that. They did not want to get into that again.
And you can't blame them. But even God says, above all, I should say, God says, there's a time for peace and a time for war. And we pay a big price when we don't understand the seasons and we miscalculate what should be done at any one time. Speaking of World War II, I wanted to, point out your column regarding Operation Bagration. A lot of people don't know, or maybe have not quite heard, and they hear us say Bagration. They go, what do you mean Operation Bagration? Explain that to them.
Yeah, okay. I got a lot of emails on that column. Mm-hmm. So we always say that D-Day was, the turning point of the war, and D-Day was an important battle. But 2 weeks after D-Day, the Soviets launched what they called Operation Bagration. It was the counteroffensive against the German invasion of the Soviet Union in June of 1941, when Hitler invaded the Soviet Union. Okay, so the Soviet Union's holding on for 2 or 3 years, and then all of a sudden they've gotten stronger, they're getting help and aid from the United States, and they launched this Operation Bagration 2 weeks after D-Day, and it is 4 times larger than D-Day in terms of men and material. In Operation Bagration, the Soviet Union basically pushed the German army out of the Soviet Union, out of Ukraine, out of Eastern Europe, all the way into Eastern Germany and to Berlin. So they and the number of people fighting in this battle, okay, from Operation Barbarossa, the German invasion of the Soviet Union, to Bagration, the counteroffensive, 2.4 million German soldiers died fighting the Soviets on the Eastern Front. In the same time period, 202,000 Germans died fighting on the Western Front. Mm-hmm. In terms of military battlefield combat deaths, excluding aerial bombing, 4 out of 5 Germans who died in World War II died fighting the Soviets on the Eastern Front. So,
wow.
when Soviet historians complain that we're always talking about D-Day and the Western contribution, they've got a point.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely do. I mean, we have all these movies about D-Day. We have Saving Private Ryan, The Longest Day, lots of books, lots of documentaries. D-Day was small compared to Bagration.
Well, maybe that leaves open an opportunity for producers and directors in the future to address this issue that's been missing out of World War II history. Bruce Kaufman, more from Bruce after this.
Did you know that with a bachelor's degree, on average, you could make almost twice as much over a lifetime than a person with just a high school diploma? It's true. According to the 2012 U.S. Census Bureau, college grads with a bachelor's degree make almost twice as much as high school grads. Now, going back to school is easier than ever at Independence University. Log on and complete coursework from the park or the beach or even your couch watching the kids. And Independence University gives you the tools, a free tablet and laptop for undergrad students to use and keep when they graduate. That's right. Get a laptop so you can go to college from anywhere. Take the first step to a new career in business, information technology, healthcare, or graphic arts. Call to find the online degree program that's right for you, and you could be on your way to increasing your earning potential.
800-981-9347. 800-981-9347. That's 800-981-9347.
Are you married? Do you and your husband both have term life insurance? If you both don't, you should. You have a lot to protect. Call now, get a free quote for your husband, and while you're at it, get a quote for yourself too. Because you both need term life insurance. Call now. 800-915-9164. 800-915-9164. 800-915-9164. Rates are at all-time lows. We'll shop over 30 top-rated companies to get you the best possible rates. Term life insurance. It's the perfect way to protect the quality of your family's lifestyle. You and your husband both need term life insurance, so call now for a free quote for the both of you. 800-915-9164. 800-915-9164. 800-915-9164.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILINGthem.com.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free Reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
Stop. Put that mobile phone down because it may have been compromised. Are you aware that many identity theft issues start right on your mobile device? My friends at LibertyID.com have helped over 60,000 individuals without failure get their identities back because of them being compromised. Don't be next. Call 844-44-LIBERTY. That's 844-44-LIBERTY or visit LibertyID.com to find out if, in fact, you've been compromised and use discount code GCN.
Values, faith, service. They still exist here. Bill Martinez, live.
Welcome back, America. 14 minutes before the top of the hour. Conversation with Bruce Kaufman continues. Award-winning syndicated columnist, historian, author, and speaker, and direct from London, England. Bruce, real quick before we get into our next topic, what was the general feeling? Did you get a sense of what Britain is like right now after this election, the surprise election that went against the Prime Minister, and this whole Brexit deal? What do you see happening there?
Well, okay, so just the first thing that everybody asked me was, what the heck is the story with Donald Trump?
Yeah, right, exactly. When I was in Ireland, same thing. People wanted to know about Donald Trump. Amazing.
Right.
Yes.
But, I mean, so it's pretty much a wait and see there, okay? I mean, so she needs a coalition now to govern, and the Democratic Unionist Party is looking to be that coalition. They probably would join her because Jeremy Corbyn was a he's always been an admirer of the Irish Republican Army, and so Democratic Unionist Party, which is the union with England, they would have nothing to do. They have no plans of anything to do with Jeremy Corbyn. So we will see. They're all kind of all, it's all a bit pretty much a wait and see there as to what coalition, because the Tories are still basically, they have the ball. I mean, it's really up to them. Theresa May, if she can form a coalition, we'll see how long. Again, so that's the other thing they said. So even if she does form the coalition, she's damaged goods in a lot of ways.
Yeah, without a doubt.
Yeah.
Well, what about the country itself after Manchester and the terrorist attacks there?
Well, again, they're used to terrorist attacks there.
The Irish Republican Army you mentioned, yes.
Yeah, and remember, this is the Brits, okay?
Yeah.
They shrug off everything. They are. Okay, so this happened to us. This was World War II.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, since World War I and World War II, they're a very, very plucky people, and it takes a heck of a lot more than a bunch of terrorist attacks to cower them.
And what about the London mayor, a Muslim, and some of the things that he said that I thought were, of course, shocking for us here in the United States, but maybe for Londoners, like you say, just another shrug.
Just another shrug, mostly in London. They're a plucky bunch, Bill. They really are.
Exactly. Well, let's talk about how loyalty can lose an election. I was just mentioning to you that Chuck Schumer got some wisdom, you know, over the last couple of weeks. He put out a message to Democrats admonishing them, saying we need strong and bold, sharp-edged and common sense economic agenda, a policy platform message that appeals to the middle class, that resonates with the middle class and unites Democrats. It's what's been missing. And he says this plan will be bold, no baby steps. He says when you lose an election, you don't blame other people, you blame yourself. This is from Chuck Schumer himself, from his lips to our ears. What's going on?
Well, I mean, Chuck Schumer isn't a smart guy. Okay, I've never met him, but I know people have had, and they said he's one of the hardest working, if not the hardest working, and one of the smartest people in the Senate. He's obviously looking at what's going on there. Mm-hmm. The Georgia election, he's obviously saying this ever-increasing move to the left of the Democratic Party is not resonating with the American people, and we have to start talking about the issues that they're interested in. The
economy,
jobs, that kind of thing.
Yeah, this resistance stuff is a big waste of time. I mean, look at the response. Survey says that people have had it with this Russian stuff. You know, they're over it. A great majority of Americans are saying, look, get about the people's business. Enough of this Russian stuff. There's nothing there. We're spending lots of money. It's all one big distraction from the matters at hand. You know, we're worried about our jobs and the economy, and you guys are worried about this Putin boogeyman.
Or whether global warming is to destroy the world in 2 weeks.
Right,
really.
Exactly.
You're exactly right, Bill. If you look at Schumer's not, again, I'm sure Schumer's looking at the same stuff you and I are.
Mm-hmm.
You look at the list of the concerns of the American people, and you're not going to find the Russian investigation or global warming at the top of the list. You're
exactly.
You're not going to find them on the first page of the list.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's what's happening. 64%, according to this Harvard Harris poll, that Mark Penn, who ran Hillary's campaign, reported on. 64% of Russian investigation is hurting the country, is what they say. 56% say, hey, forget it, let it go, let's move on.
Yeah.
Only 44% say that we should continue our focus on Russia.
Yeah, I don't think there's anything there. If Robert Mueller wants to investigate this thing, but you know what? Fine, investigate it, but just let's not focus the American people on that. Let's do his investigation. When he's got something to tell us, have him tell us. But until then, let's move on to the more important things affecting our country.
Well, that's the point. So in your article, you said loyalty can lose elections. And in the Hillary campaign is brought out in the book Shattered. Boy, the people were beyond loyal to a fault, and I think the same situation not only lose elections, but it can also compromise your legacy, which I believe is a story to be told about the Barack Obama administration
as well. Absolutely, but yeah, the book Shattered. It makes a number of points about how many mistakes the Hillary campaign made, but the one that struck me was the fact that Hillary was nearly obsessive on people being loyal to her.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, in the 2008 campaign, after she lost that, she had an aide compile a list of all the communications of her top staff, and she went over it looking for signs of disloyalty. She had a loyalty scale that affected all of the people, the Democratic politicians who worked with her on that 2008 campaign, and she assigned a number to each of those people, a
based
one
on
that you were very loyal, a seven that you were disloyal. And if you were disloyal, Hillary would send her husband, Bill Clinton, out to campaign against you when you were up for re-election. This is true.
Wow.
So, you know, her obsession with loyalty was just off the charts. But here's the problem with that. If you are obsessed with loyalty, then that's going to be at the expense of honesty. If your aides, if your campaign staff is so worried that if they're honest with you, you're going to consider that to be disloyal, then they're not going to be honest with you. And as the book Shattered points out, here's a perfect example. Everybody knows, you know, I know, your listeners know, that Hillary was a terrible campaigner.
Mm-hmm.
Her husband, Bill, could relate to people. Hillary was wooden, dull. Her speeches were platitude after platitude. An honest campaign person would have said, Mrs. Clinton, you need to improve your campaigning style. You need to learn how to relate to people. A loyal campaign staffer would say, you were terrific. You knocked them dead.
Yeah.
And this is the point of the book, that she kept making those kinds of mistakes because her staff was loyal to her, not honest with her.
Yeah, there were only five people in the audience, but you knocked them dead.
Yeah.
You know?
Exactly.
And you know, that's what, you know, to your point on this, without a doubt, it's almost as if, she had her way, I guess, but she did it, with her notebook, would have had them wear some sort of symbol on their sleeve, telling everybody else what the loyalty scale was, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And here's another one. Okay, so an honest campaign ad would have looked at the fact that they're doing very little campaigning in Pennsylvania, Ohio, and Michigan, three Democratic states that have been the base of the party since Franklin Roosevelt, blue-collar workers, okay? Mm-hmm. An honest campaign staff would say, my God, we're not spending any money in that. Hillary's not campaigning those three states. We're not spending any money in those three mm-hmm. states. We need to go to those states. They're critical to us winning. A loyal campaign aide would say, oh, it's all under control. And
exactly.
She lost all three states.
Well, and the thing amazing, too, because you're going to tell me Bill Clinton didn't tell her that?
Yeah. I've read that Bill Clinton told her and the staff that, and they ignored him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they just pretty much wanted him out there kind of as a fluff piece, so to speak. And, and I think maybe that might have been his frustration when he spoke out so candidly about Obamacare, do you think?
Yep, I think that was part of it. Absolutely. I mean, they were sort of caught between a rock and a hard place with Bill because, Trump could always, every time Bill's profile was up in the Hillary campaign, Trump would talk about his past indiscretions. But the guy was politically smart as hell, and they should have been taking his advice.
Well, this hurt Al Gore, right?
Yep.
When Bill Clinton wasn't on the campaign trail for him, I'm talking about the president. President Clinton disqualified himself because of Lewinsky Gate and all the stuff that was going on in his administration, the tail end of the administration. So he was, kind of a self-appointed pariah
yep.
That he did. And again, once again, for Hillary Clinton, it was like, he's old school, but here's a guy who's been there, done it. He's been to the mountain. He knows. Mm-hmm. He's got the directions, right?
Yeah.
He's got the map. And they're going,
I think Bill Clinton was not a very good person, but he was a heck of a politician. There's
right.
no question about that. And the fact that they weren't listening to him, not only in campaign strategy, but on policy. Bill mm-hmm. Clinton lowered taxes in his second administration, and his popularity rose, and the U.S. Treasury gained more money. Hillary wanted to just mm-hmm. raise taxes higher and higher. So not only are they not paying attention to Bill Clinton from a strategic standpoint, they weren't even looking at the policies that he fashioned when he was president, most of which actually were good for the country.
Exactly. And oh, my goodness, what did he do? He worked in a bipartisan way with those awful Republicans and Newt Gingrich. And I would say because of the Republican Party and that, that Congress, Bill Clinton owes his legacy to them because what do we talk about? We talk about the economy, how healthy it was. I think a little bit of that, too, is we robbed from Peter to pay Paul. And, on paper, it looked pretty good. But he left us very vulnerable militarily, as you and I have discussed before.
Right.
So it's always at some price, but you got to hand it to Bill Clinton. He is still the consummate charmer, isn't he?
Yep, he is, and he was a smart politician, and they paid no attention to him.
Wow. Well, that's another column. And, of course, we look forward to all your columns, Bruce. Remind everybody how they can get connected, with your subscriptions.
Yes, it's historylessons.net. That's one word, plural, historylessons.net. Right on the homepage, you can subscribe to all three of my columns, or one or two. It's really up to you. I would recommend all three, but if you don't like all three, you can always change.
Exactly. Well, you'll want all three, ladies and gentlemen. Trust me. You get a little bit of Bruce, three times a week. That's a good thing. It's what the doctor and us constitutionalists, is what we recommend highly. Bruce, award-winning syndicated columnist, historian, author, and speaker. Bruce, as always, great to have you with us. Thank you, sir.
My pleasure, Bill.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow. And like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented MyPillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. MyPillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN. We use